Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country. Like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network.
Welcome to GM, the game where we get your table started and answer your questions. I'm your GM, Sean Howard, with the End of Time and Other Bothers.
And I am your DM from Dungeons & Dragons, Russ Moore.
Russ Moore. Way to save that. So, if you listened to last episode, I had a moment where I got excited, and Russ is
every
like,
episode.
Oh, but we're at the 2 hour. Yeah. So, I was like, let's talk about different mechanisms that exist that are storytelling mechanisms or starting points. Let's start with the example of you're sitting down, everyone's going to show up in 15 minutes, mm-hmm. and the story has gotten so crazy right now. You know what I mean? You're just feeling the pressure. Like it happens to me all the time. I'm like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like I just got the big baddie and now this thing happened and there's time travel and my brain is just flat. I got nothing. What are some mechanisms you can use to sit down and run a game with everyone?
Things are so wild and out of control. Flash them back to a different point in time, a simpler point
yes.
in time.
Yes, a happy time. If everything's dark and difficult, a time when they were happy.
Yeah, if you were in the darkest timeline and then you wanted to get out of it just for a moment, just to see that there was hope at one point in the world, flash them back and they're all just at home with their friends and family and life is good. Life is good.
And the table will have so much fun. You literally open it with, we're going back to a time. Tell me a time when you were all happy.
Yeah.
Right? And... or you could take one character. You can go, you know, Amy, tell me a time when your character was happy.
That's right.
And then you start an intro. You know, Amy turns and starts walking down the street with the bodies and the burning. And she's suddenly not on that street. She's suddenly in a precious memory with her family and their whatever she told
yeah.
you, right?
That's
eating
right.
marshmallows around the fire. Suddenly you've got a scene to play. Hopefully your table is going to join in and be her family in that case.
That's right. Yeah.
Right?
Find ways for them to get into that scene. I mean, you can always tell them, just, you know, jump. We're going to do these type of scenes. Jump into these scenes if your table isn't familiar with that.
Yeah.
But a lot of the most fun ones I have done, one of the ones that I remember the most are the going home scenes, which are very much the flashback scenes, right? You know, everything has been decided. What's going to happen? The next thing is the big battle. But you want to give them a moment of just breath and reprieve. Send them home to see their family or their friends, or send them to a completely different location that is removed from the tension of whatever is happening. Because to relax you and to relax them, and it can be a lot of fun when they're just like, oh, the pressure valve is gone. And they can just remember that the character they built 8 years ago, they built with hope in their minds.
So you can also do things like, let's say one of your characters, like Tom, had this cool axe or shield, and they used it a lot. But then when they got all their cooler weapons, yeah, right, they started using those. You could literally do a flashback to the day that they earned that shield.
Right.
And then have them tell you what it was. They could be like, maybe they want to do a battle scene. They could be like, oh, yeah, it was the battle of whatever. Or, oh, it was the day I got lost and managed to get home. You know, whatever it is. Like, you can now do a flashback and have fun playing that for as long as it is till you wrap it.
Yeah, flashbacks are a blast.
Yeah, because like Russ says, you're taking them back to a younger character, mm-hmm, that had hope and dreams, and your table will have fun with, yeah, it. They will literally play a scene. Tom or someone will literally probably play a scene where they'll be like, well, I am never giving up this axe. Certainly not for anything that, you know, has a funny name, like an insert some ridiculous name.
That's right.
That is their weapon of today. The players can have a lot of fun with these flashbacks.
Oh, for sure. But what? Okay, so we're back in this hectic moment in our game, and maybe there's something that the players just aren't getting. Mm-hmm. Giving your players maybe a dream. Something that can, yep, deliver them a message that you just need to clear something up. Like the flashback scenes, maybe Blatt falls asleep one night after having a dark and dreary day hiding under trees and at top of buildings and, you know, whatever he's doing. And they just aren't getting that little click. You launch them into, yep, this dream, and it could be just a black space, and you wait for them to tell you what they see or what they hear.
You could be like, yeah, you could say you suddenly realize you're in blackness. And then you realize you remember falling asleep, but you're not sure where you are and you can't feel anything. And then the world starts to come into focus. Where are you, yeah, in this dream? And have them tell you. And yeah, like, so the idea of, let's say you've got some kind of mystery thing set up and it's going horribly. You're in your 13th session and they still haven't figured it out. The world is ending because they just haven't picked up the stone that's on the altar that everything is pointing at. So that would be my table. So I would literally do a whole dream where it's all metaphor and innuendo to Blatt, right? Yep. And the table knows now what I'm trying to do, because it's all going to be about diamonds on their finger and whatever. And then they're going to come out and go, wow, it was a weird dream. And I'm going to, so I'm going to be like, well, Darcy is still sleeping when you come back and say that. Darcy, you're in the thing, and, yeah, I'll have fun with it. I'll be like, there's literally a ring on an altar and it has like a sign pointing to,
big,
you know,
neon lights pointing down to it.
It's just a, yeah, dream. And then she'll come out of it with some different thing, and she probably won't go for it because it'll be fun, yeah, right, to not get it,
see what happens next in the next in Egerton's dream, right? Like,
oh boy.
And then by that point we'll be, yeah, so down
he'll eat it,
yeah, and he'll be, because he sleepwalks and sleep eats, obviously, so
yeah, he does, yeah, yeah. So dreams are a great way and a lot of fun because dreams aren't real. There's metaphor, there's innuendo, they can be scary. Yeah, dreams are a fun way to create a session where you're just playing. Mm-hmm. But they also don't have to be telling the characters anything. You could just be like, you could do a cool thing where there's a lich or something that's just targeted them and is just sucking their life force, and they're all in a dream world, and so they don't defeat a real lich, they're just in this dream thing where they're trying to get out, and if they don't get out of the dream, they die, their bodies die.
Yeah, that's a good point, right, too, because you know, while you can deliver them information in a safer quote unquote environment, you can also put them into a high stakes thing. Maybe they don't know they're dreaming at that point. You can put them in this high stakes, yep, thing. You don't have to tell them that something entirely out of left field. They, you know, wake up around the campfire and now they're completely surrounded and overrun and they've got to find a way out of this. And then at the end, they snap back.
Wake up.
And then they, yep, start hearing movement in the trees. A little premonition, forward thinking.
It's going to repeat. That's awesome.
More
Russ,
Groundhog,
awesome,
Day style thing. But then, yep, it gives them an extra 10 minutes to kind of, 10 minutes in game to kind of think about and plan about what's coming up, right? And then,
yeah, so maybe they don't survive the dream, yeah, one. But,
Now that too then gives you another way.
Killing characters in a dream, right, oh, that's
always
fun.
That too.
And they're not sure if they're dreaming?
Always. That too gives reason, it gives you something outside of the dream and in the game as to why they had that dream. Maybe there's somebody helping them that they haven't met yet, or another force. Anyways, that's me going down a rabbit 100%. Hole. But yeah, trying some of these things out can give you more things to build out your world. And
but they're also easy. Yeah. You can literally sit down 10 minutes before they're arriving and go, everyone's going to a dream world and they're going to be a house. And the house is a metaphor for the witch's power and they have to just get out. They just have to find the door. Or that's hard because it's like a riddle. Or I love yours. They're at a campfire and people are attacking. It's insane how many people are attacking and they're fighting like mad doing it. And then they die and then they wake up and realize it was a dream, but now they hear the same bugle call. Yeah. Love that. Those are just, they're fun. You could just come up with an idea. So there's another thing you can do, which is a bottle episode. Like, we see this in TV shows. So I would also say anything you've seen in a movie, start paying attention to TV shows and movies. They are storytelling, just like we're doing at the table. You will see flashbacks. You'll see dreams. You will see things out of order, right? Like, you'll see, like, a really big thing happen and they won't tell you. That's foundation, right? Like, there's this big thing that happens and then you never find out what happened. You're like, well, I want to go back to the thing, right? That's a storytelling mechanism. And every once in a while, they tease you with it. All of these cuts in story are things we can do. We do not have to be telling a story like step by step. Like, we can cut in time. We can cut back in time suddenly, right? Yeah. So a bottle episode is when it's like we see it all the time on Doctor Who or any show where it has nothing to do with the big arc of the season. It's just a funny little thing. Like, they're on a ship and it opens usually with you're in situ. It's a real problem. They're in Doctor Who. They're in a ship. There's no life support. They can't get to the front cockpit. They're all going to die. They have only a ticking clock. Yeah. What do they do? Or you just open in a battle, or you open in a whatever. But you can literally sit down on the table and just broadcast to your table. You know, it's the second day of the Academy, and they're all going to be like, "That was Academy. That was like years ago when we started that." It's the second day of the Academy, the day no one ever talked about again.
Yeah,
because now you've set up why they haven't talked about this when. All four, in my table, I do something like all four characters manage to lock themselves in the basement and we go. We just have a fun bottle episode, right? And there's bad things. I've got like a suit of armor that's come alive and is chasing them or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or Russ might put a maze.
Look, I've been steering away from mazes. Okay, get off my back, Sean. Would Amy put you up to this?
Yeah. And Tom.
Well, of course. Yes, all of these things are great ways to not have to prep, but just go in and do something that is not of huge consequence, but also, like the bottle episode, sets up more of your world as well. And allows them to, again, come back to putting your players back into the storytelling mode.
And you can literally download a one pager off the internet and just do a bottle episode. I promise you, at any time, you can really take a one pager, like, I got nothing today. Pull the one pager and be like, oh, this would be funny if instead of it being this little house and the whatever, it was that, like, that base of operations we started out of, and we go back there.
Yeah.
Like, you'll find a way to put it in your world as soon as you look at it.
And then there's so many of those one pagers on that you can just get in Drive-Thru RPG and all that sort of stuff. Hundreds of them, thousands of them.
Yeah.
Go find one that works, and you can make as many or as little connections. Your players will find the connections along the way and have fun with it, right?
Just find a way to do something fun in a bottle. Give everyone a fun time. You can play. So one of the other ones we got to end soon is Alternate Universe.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
If the comics can do it, so can we.
That's right.
Right? Like, you literally tell everyone, you can literally have everyone hand their character sheet one to the left.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
All right. Everyone's going to play each other and they're in, you say it's, what do they call those in the thing? Like the I forget, they had names for them in the comic book world, like different, you know, the non Spider-Verse.
Yeah. The ones they're doing right now are like the what ifs, right? Like, what if,
You go.
Yeah.
And so you can literally open with just a fun what if. We're going back to an old thing from your notebook. Yeah. Like, it's something the old crew did. And now this crew gets to do it differently because maybe they'll remember.
Yeah. They'll remember what they did, and then they'll make a in their mind, a better decision, right? Or a different decision. Yep.
So you would have to put them in that one maze they were in forever because they still probably won't remember how to get out.
No, they won't. No. they'll try the solution right away, which it won't work. And they'll have to figure it out.
Yeah. Tom did a thing the other day in a one-off where everyone had to rhyme. It was super fun. Or you lost hit points, a good amount of hit points. So you learned pretty quick to rhyme.
Don't mess
until
up.
So you can get to the end of the little one-pager. So so these are all just examples. Watch movies, watch TV, think of books, think of comics, any story you like.
Yeah.
If you start to look at it, you're going to notice that they just cut to scenes.
Yeah, you don't need travel all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to paint the 30 points from A to B. Sometimes you can jump and then jump back in time. You can go back to a time when you jumped. Like, there's a number of points in Russ's world where they suddenly just were in the new city.
Yeah.
All of that travel between those two is things you can jump back in time to at any time, right?
Yeah, because travel, when you're trying to get to a point, is long and boring because you don't want to fill out every little detail. But yeah, like Sean said, those flashbacks, be like, well, there was a big event there that happened. You arrive at the city and you know your armor's dented and your swords are all bloodied. You can fill that in then if you want to, or save it for another session later on when they can come back and fill in why that happened, right?
Exactly. So I hope you all just take away from this just some different fun ideas to experiment with and have fun with your table.
Yeah.
And you get your game started. Did I do it right?
All the places you can find us are in the description.
Oh, yeah. And then the places that Russ is going to tell you.
Send us an email, dm2gmcast@gmail.com. Join us on our Discord. We've got a whole bunch of amazing people there answering questions and filling in character details and story details and plot points and all that great stuff. And you can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Show notes is where you click all those links. Okay.
Show notes.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
If you love actual plays D&D, Hades, or Greek mythology and improv, be sure to check out Rogue Runners, Volume 1, In the Blood, to follow the adventures of Alexander the Great, King of Macedon, and Drunk Paladin.
Oh, sorry. I guess now I'm Alexander the Grump.
Rolf, part-time sorcerer, full-time boomer.
Is it a sex thing?
It was a sex thing!
Arete, stealthy rogue, and even thirstier mobster.
Have you bathed and brought to my tent?
And Annie, legendary bard and chocolate milk fanatic. Together, these four wretched shades will battle their way out of hell for another chance at life, with a little help and hindrance from gods and monsters alike.
Word of advice when you're opening up these things, you're supposed to say, "Olympus, I accept this message," in some really serious voice.
Take your place among the living again.
Your tactics are adept, if too elegant for my tastes.
My dear, saying no is never a crime.
You hit like a Philistine.
You're not getting out of here alive, wretches.
A pinky promise?
A double pinky promise.
When you die, you'll have to tell me all about it.
Rogue Runners, an actual play audio drama made during the pandemic, all while maintaining proper social distancing.
And I'll follow at a 6-foot distance.
How about a 5-foot distance for D&D purposes?
Sure.
Okay.